Reading from Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. O magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, March 23rd, 2021. Well, if you were tuned in yesterday, you knew I was probably operating on a sugar high or something. I couldn't stop talking for about 13 straight minutes. I had a special guest in the studio. And thank you, God, that he's a good friend, because he's back today for Testimony Tuesday. And I just got on a roll. I was so excited to share about the Ernie Haas concert and meeting so many different new listeners and faithful old-time listeners. And I shared a little report about a guy from Finland that wrote us, that listened to our WLLM frequency out of Lincoln, Illinois, and he heard it all the way across the world in Finland, and it's a fascinating story. He heard it off air, and you'd say, Mark, how could that be? That's impossible. That's what I would have said, but he has like a 300-foot antenna, and he hangs it on all these trees in the woods, and he does this as a hobby. Anyways, he wrote us, and if you missed the broadcast, it is archived at greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org, also at wluj.org, wluj.org, under the Mark and Friends link. So tune in, and you'll hear a very excited me ramble for about 13 straight minutes, but all to say that I didn't give Brooks enough time to share. He had some thoughts on Psalm 23:5. That's the verse we looked at yesterday. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. So I wanted to spend a little more time today allowing him to share some of his testimony, his faith journey, how God brought Tammy into his life, what it was like growing up on a ranch in Montana, on the Canadian border, and then how God brought him to the Muhammad area, the greater Muhammad area, as he was the manager and owner of the Muhammad IGA. So, Brooks, yesterday, you know, we looked at Psalm 23:5. You did a great reading, but we didn't have a whole lot of time to talk about it. And you were, as we were finishing the program, you were saying, oh, Mark, there's one thing that's kind of interesting just off the top of my head. So why don't we start with recapping a little of Psalm 23:5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. A little sharing about that, and I know your cup has overflowed as you've been a faithful follower of Jesus these many years. So what were your thoughts? You had said something about Psalm 23:5.
Well, this is a verse that not only is useful during the week, during the month, but during the day, and sometimes even many times during the day, we're faced with so many ups and downs in our lives, mm-hmm. little things that bother us, big things that hit us. In all of those, God's always prepared this beautiful table for us mm-hmm. in the presence of the irritation, the frustrations, oh. and all the stuff that attack our day. And if we accept those, then we have joy and contentment in our day, and our cups truly overflow. So this is a verse that hits my heart throughout the day, every day.
You know, I like that. I've never even thought about that, but I'm getting a new layer out of it. I always thought of enemies as like people, individuals, but I like that you're saying, you know, the enemies can be the discouraging things. It could be the irritations that you're dealing with. Enemies don't just have to be people. They can be circumstances.
Even a frustration or a negative feeling becomes an enemy, because it comes from the enemy and it disrupts our peace and contentment that God really wants us to fill and overflow with.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, you anoint my head with oil. So it's almost like a very intimate setting where God is very engaged, involved, you know, anointing our heads. He's touching us. He's pouring onto us. And my cup overflows. I think when we evaluate, you know, maybe we're not very wealthy in terms of worldly possessions or income or retirement plans and such, but our cup can overflow with various blessings or peace of mind or, you know, wisdom or insights or raising kids. You know, that cup overflowing can be attributed to many things in life.
You bet.
Well, on this Testimony Tuesday, I'm so glad you're back, and I think I mentioned it a number of times yesterday. I didn't realize till just last week that you were only a few-minute drive out in the well, I guess I would say west of me, but I guess that's the Manfield area, kind of. You have some acreage, and the Lord has allowed you to have great accommodations there with your wife, Tammy. But on Testimony Tuesday, take us a little through some of that faith journey. Did you grow up in a Christian home?
So I grew up in Plentywood, Montana, as you said, on a cattle ranch on the Canadian border. Had a fun life, had hundreds of friends and cousins around me, but the whole county was about 2,000 people, so mm-hmm. we knew everybody. I grew up in a Catholic home and had very loving parents. It was interesting because my father had grown up there also, and his father had wanted him to have a broader understanding of the world outside of Plentywood. So he sent all his five boys to Gonzaga Prep, which was a preparatory school to Gonzaga, and it gave them a bigger view of the world than the 2,000 people in the desolate corner of the, I say the world, but desolate right. corner of Montana. And so when we came to our high school age, our dad wanted to do the same thing for us. Gonzaga Prep had long been eaten up by Gonzaga University and was gone. And we ended up at a Catholic seminary in Santa Barbara, California. So me and three of my brothers were there, although I had six brothers and one sister. Four of us did go there. That was really the beginning of my faith journey. I had never really delved much into the Bible other than what I sort of listened to on Sundays. And when I left St. Anthony's, I just knew that God was much bigger than I had grown up with. Mm-hmm. And so it sent me kind of on a wild tour of faith and religion and questioning into my college days. And I tried a little bit of everything. Without going into a little bit of everything, that's probably not, some of it wouldn't be appropriate for your show, I'm afraid.
Sure.
But I ended up at the University of Montana in what they call the Oval, sitting on a big grass berm, probably recovering from the weekend. Mm-hmm. That would be probably a fair statement. And a guy walked up to me named Mike Catacamo. And he just started sharing and talking to me and asking what I was looking at. And he hit on some spiritual things that I'd been looking at and seeking. And, you know, God promises if we seek, we'll find. And through all my multiple paths, I ended up going to a Campus Crusade for Life ministry meeting with Mike and became a Christian through that. Of course, I'll always remember him. He was a journalism student, which I, of course, made fun of because I was a business student. Mm-hmm. And that was really the beginning of it, my freshman year in college.
Now, when you say you began your faith journey, are you saying, like, things became much more relational with God? You obviously knew about Jesus, right. and you knew Jesus was the Savior of the world, but what was the difference that this Campus Crusade meeting or what you heard
well,
that
the
night?
The difference was that I actually accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior.
Okay.
Before that, I knew that God was bigger, that God should have something in our life, and I grew up really trying to be more like Jesus rather than accepting God's power, accepting Jesus into my heart as the power in my life. Mm-hmm. And so, no, that happened through one of those early Campus Crusade meetings. I can't really identify which one even, but early, very early on after meeting Mike, within a few weeks, accepted the Lord.
Well, I think your faith journey parallels with many people. You know, intuitively, at least in my mind, I believe almost everyone knows there has to be some kind of higher power or something behind the universe. Even though some people say, well, I'm atheist or agnostic, I think in their hearts of hearts, they still always wrestle with, there's got to be something beyond the universe. There's got to be a creator or some kind of power that brought this into existence. We didn't just happen because of primordial slime over a period of time and then
sure.
pop, there's a human. But it became real in the sense where you identified Jesus Christ, not only as this human being, as this person that existed that the Bible talks about, but that he could be known as a personal Savior, that he claimed to be God and that he was the way and the truth to knowing God through right. surrendering to him and asking him to be your. When Christians talk about, well, I'm a Christian because Jesus is my Savior, sometimes I think people that are tuning into Christian radio is like, well, what does it mean that he became personal or that he's your Savior? And
right.
so.
Absolutely. Well, it's interesting. I mean, something I want to add to that is that the time I had at the seminary, there was a guy named Father Dick Ogletree, and when I would ask him a question, he'd pull out this big Hebrew Aramaic book and translate things. What I really understood from that, or why that was so important, is that I understood there was a lot of depth in the Bible that first I didn't understand, but now today I see I couldn't even understand it then because I didn't have the Spirit of God in there right. translating for me as I did originally with the Dick Ogletree. So
yeah.
it's an important part of that God uses different people at different times, different things, and we can't measure them. We just have to know that God is king in it and that he will use what we say and what we share in ways we may not even know.
And you touch on something that's really important maybe for the unchurched or the non-believer. when a person comes to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, recognizing that God sent him, that Jesus is the Savior of the world, that because of his life, death, and resurrection, and the fact that he took away our sins, that we can have a relationship, because us unsaved, sinful people can't have a relationship with a holy God. I mean, because a holy God can't tolerate sin, and so there has to be punishment, or it has to be dealt with. You can't have a holy God and sinful man. So because of what Jesus did through that unique work on the cross, he shed his blood on our behalf. We're kind of cleansed, and so we can have that relationship. But I'm sharing that because at some point when the Holy Spirit comes into us, then we can look at the scriptures and reread them differently, and we have a different, I don't know if it's an intuitive sense, but we recognize this is truth, and then the Holy Spirit helps us interpret it and understand it and find points of application. But for some of my unchurched friends, I love them very much, but without the Holy Spirit operating and working in them, sometimes they say, I don't get any of this. This doesn't make sense to me. This doesn't have the meaning that it seems to have for you. And I say, well, that's because you don't have the Holy Spirit in you yet. You got to surrender to Jesus, ask him into your heart, and then you're gifted with the Holy Spirit. He's a comforter. He helps you interpret scripture. He helps guide and lead you in this fallen world. And so for our dear friends that don't have Jesus as your Savior yet, part of the problem is until you surrender and confess your sins and ask him into your heart, you don't have the advantage of the Holy Spirit helping you. So it was during this period that you accepted Jesus into your heart in a very personal way. The Holy Spirit filled you up. I know there's different ways that people look at that. And so you're in college now. What are your next steps? When does Tammy enter into the picture? And then how did you come to Muhammad to be the owner of the IGA? So a lot of questions all mixed into that one.
You bet. So I worked for grocery stores. I worked for a company called Super Value in either their stores, offices, consulting, new store development. For 30 years, I worked in a Fortune 100 company, and I had a lot of impact on independent retailers' lives. Eventually purchased Muhammad IGA and owned that for 15 years. It was a capstone to that. But in the midst of that, I was in Champaign, Illinois, as a vice president there at the Champaign Super Value Division, and I had me and four children. I had my two daughters and my two sons, and I was one of my sons had swimmer's ear, and so I went to the hospital, and there our nurse was a lady named Tammy. A good friend of mine was happened to be visiting from Arizona, and he was a strong Christian guy, Jewish guy that became a Christian, and a good friend, and he's trying to fix us up. And I'm going, John, first, I don't need help with anybody fixing me up. I won't be married till my kids are up and grown.
Right.
And my youngest child at the time was 6. My oldest was 12 or 13. And John's just pushing us along. Well, as God would have it, Tammy, through meeting her at the hospital where she's my nurse, we ended up dating and being married. And we have 6 children. Our youngest is now in Columbia, Missouri in college.
Wow.
It was amazing. Tammy was a blessing in my life that I didn't expect. I'm just so thankful for every day.
Now, would you say it was love at first sight? What were the initial, like, she's kind of attractive, seemingly sweet? How did that develop?
Well, it's interesting because she was very, of course, taking care of my son. That gives you an immediate heart for this person's taking care of my son. And he couldn't sleep. It's the middle of the night, and you know, blah, blah, blah. And so there was a sense that I knew she was very caring and seemed nice. And it's interesting because I really didn't think about her again. Other than I was frustrated with my friend John, who's trying to fix us up during a medical event. I was driving back from our regional office in Kenosha, Wisconsin, and I said, "Boy, that was a nice girl." And I actually thought, "Well, I'm going to give her a call and just talk to her." So I called, and they said, "Oh, she really works she works extra time in urgent care. She really works for a doctor in the hospital and." So I left her a message. Well, I came home to find out that she left me a message that one of my sons had left his ball cap at the appointment. So that kind of what struck all that up. Well, fast forward to Urbana, Illinois. We're living in Urbana, and my wife says, Tammy and I were married by then, and she said, we're going to raise our kids in a smaller school district. So we were moving to St. Joe, Monticello, or Muhammad, and I explained to her that we had this great house. It was set up for the size of our family, and we probably weren't going to do that, although I knew she wanted us to, and as a negotiation would have it, we moved to Muhammad.
Sure.
Which was again, very much a blessing. The school district was great for our children. I would have never bought Muhammad IGA had we not come to Muhammad and got to know the owner there. And so God had his hand in it at every turn.
I know by being in a small group with you and some of the prayers that we prayed over the years and some of the challenges and even with your retirement and trying to think through how God would be at work and some of the timetable of that before the COVID struck and some unique offers and counteroffers and things that were going on. You've seen God provide and respond to your prayers. And I think it's interesting. We opened up the program with that verse out of Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And I know you've been a man of prayer and you know the power of prayer. And it seems like God has really, in this later stage in your life where you've sold the IGA and you're kind of like, Lord, what's the next steps? Where do you want to lead me? It's been an interesting year or so for you.
Sure has. When we sold the store, I thought I was very anxious and saying, what do I have to do next? Because I've been so busy my whole life. And over this year, I've really come to have great comfort in knowing that God is preparing me for something, mm-hmm. has prepared me for our next step. And I'm anxiously praying about what that next step is, but being very comfortable with where we are right now today.
Now, we talked a little bit off air about, I think you said this verse is kind of an interesting one for you, maybe a life verse that you go to because you have a tendency, like many people, like all of us, we can get anxious or we can take our eyes off the Lord. Why is this verse so uniquely maybe special for you? Do not be anxious about anything but everything in prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Present your request to God. Why was that the go-to verse? I'm going to open up the program with a verse. What would be a good one for you?
We'll have to go all the way back to the ranch for that. I was kind of the seven boys and one girl, I was kind of the go-to business guy that took care of things as my parents started to get older, and eventually it was just my mom and all us boys. And I was the guy that took care of everything, and sometimes there was tough financial times. And so I became an expert worrier. The good part about that was I'd look for things in the future. I'd see what we're going to have to take care of. Because my dad, as incredible of a beef rancher as he was not a good financial planner. Mm-hmm. We had highs and lows, depending how the harvest of our livestock was. And so I put that all the way back to those roots of having to take care of things at a young age that a lot of young people don't have to take care of. But I carried that through my life, over carrying and over worrying about things. Mm-hmm. And that verse is really a message to me that says, hey, let it go, experience God's peace. And over the years, I've become much better at that. Mm-hmm. But that's still my go-to verse because I still fall back to my own self when I find something that I decide I'm going to worry about rather than trust completely to God. And over the years, I've really found that God is very faithful in giving us peace and joy.
Yeah, I think that's probably true of all of us to varying extents. You know, what's that Pat saying? Let go and let God. You know, right. I know people have shared that, but how oftentimes God has encouraged, I don't know what it's called, like in some of the Old Testaments, you make markers, you do things out of remembrance. Many of the Jewish traditions are to remind everyone how God provided, how God worked through this situation. You know, the whole Passover meal is representative. Why we take communion is so that we remember, you know, what Christ did for us. And I'm sure this verse is meaningful to so many. I've loved this too. It's Philippians 4. I'll read 6 and 7. Do not. And it's kind of emphatic. When God says do not, he's saying you don't, you know, stop doing it. Do not be anxious about not some things, not a few things. Do not be anxious about anything. It doesn't leave a lot of leeway to worry about things. And then he goes on to say, but in everything. That's kind of interesting. Not in most things, not in some things, but in everything, offer them up for prayer. But by everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. That's another twist. We're supposed to do this joyfully, with confidence, being encouraged, with thanksgiving. Present your request to God. And then this is the verse that I'm sure so many identify with and love. And the peace of God. Oh, don't we need peace in this day and age, and in this time of year, during these circumstances? And the peace of God. And then this is special too, which transcends all understanding. Sometimes we won't even understand it, or we're in a circumstance where it's so dark we can't see beyond like the next day or even the next hour. It could seem very hopeless. But here it says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. God is in the business of redeeming situations or providing hope, or sometimes this side of heaven, it won't be resolved. There are tragedies. There are circumstances where there's harm. People do have cancer. People do die. Children die even before they're born. I mean, there's very sad things, but ultimately in God's economy, He will guard our hearts and our minds into eternity. So there is great hope to take in this verse and to recognize God's goodness, His love. And this past weekend, I had two occasions to be with Dr. Webb with our training, our special intensive training. Anyone that knows Dr. Webb knows that he doesn't go half-hearted into anything. And Brooks and I have had the privilege. I think it's been about 8 months, 8 or 9 months, that we've been meeting with Dr. Webb once a month, and then he has these priorities and discipling people and accountability partners and other gatherings to really help us kind of model what Jesus did with the disciples, an intensive time together to grow and to learn. So both Brooks and I have had that opportunity to get to know each other through that and then get to be challenged. He holds the bar pretty high for all of us, but we're very blessed. But He's been helping us all think through different scriptures and passages and how the disciples interacted with the Lord. And so, Brooks, I appreciate getting to know you. And, you know, I have some special ideas on using your gifts and talents and abilities to help other organizations. You know, one I have in particular that I think that you could be a real gift to them. And you've taken your many experiences, your business. What's that word? Acclimum? When you're very gifted in an area. Acumen, thank you. You know, everyone knows, you know, I have a lot of ideas. I don't always know how to explain them, but you're very gifted and talented in a lot of areas, and I think you could be a real asset to any ministry or organization, and I hope that God continues to work through you. I know you do consulting. You've helped out with some other grocery stores in Florida and North Carolina, and thank you for being a part of our radio listening family, being available for today's edition of Mark and Friends. And if you missed a portion of today's broadcast or yesterday, it is archived at greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org, under the Mark and Friends link. And you'll see a photo. I posted a photo of Brooks today on our Facebook page, so you can get a little idea of who he is. Or if you've shopped at the Muhammad IGA like a year ago, for the last 15 or so years, you probably saw him helping you with your cart or your groceries or bagging or answering questions. He's a phenomenal leader and teacher. He's helped a lot of young people get jobs there, and I appreciate how you've done that, helping the next generation of grocers, because we have that in common. So, well, thank you for listening, everyone. Thank you for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Brooks Marsh with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you. Have a great day and night.